well did SMU do enough to stay in this college ball playoff? I think so. Joined as always by Quentin, Nick, and Todd. Let's react to this show, guys. What are y'all thought? What are y'all's thoughts after yesterday's games?
I think SMU is a fraud, but they're going to get in.
So are you?
Surely sounds like SMU is getting in. What I've been just reading on social. Yeah.
Well, Brett McMurphy just broke the news.
That's what I just saw. Yeah.
Breaking news: SMU's in, Alabama's out.
Why do people have to do that? That just annoys. Like,
I don't know.
I mean, I get why he has to; it's his job. But it's the same thing with NFL draft and MLB draft. It always gets released like 2 or 3 minutes early. Just kind of spoils the surprise. But yeah, I don't think it was a surprise. I mean, SMU earned it last night. And I saw somebody put it on Twitter. The best I actually read was SMU kind of got put in a hole big early and played about as bad as they could. They bounced back and obviously tied the game with 16 seconds left. What happened last time Bama got put in a hole early? They finished 34-3 against Oklahoma. They didn't bounce back. So that was kind of the last kind of straw. Those both happened within the last 3 weeks. I think that kind of says a lot about the two teams.
Yeah, it's the old question of, is it most deserving or is it best? Yeah, if you were to set it by an odd standpoint, sure, Ole Miss would be in, Alabama would be in, but it's not. It's not that way. And we saw Florida State get shafted. They sacrificed last season so that SMU could run into the 2025 playoff. Those are my thoughts. I think SMU, I wouldn't go as far as to say they're overrated. Q, you can elaborate on that, but I think there, and we've talked about it, right? There's been a lot of parity in college football this season, and I think Arizona State showing up yesterday and dominating Iowa State, I think they could make a lot of noise in this playoff. Smitty, sorry you were on Iowa State. I don't know why you went against your co-host here.
Well, you have to. You got to be different on the show. You got to think differently, and that's what I did. And that game was entertaining for a little bit. Entertaining. Oh,
and Scatavu just scored another touchdown.
But hey, that was the problem. That was the Iowa State's thing. They couldn't stop the run, and they got out-coached. They could never adjust to stop the run. Their offense was good there early in the game, and they just could never stop the run. And you got to – hey, I love the – I said it on Friday. I love the coach. The running back's a superstar, so good for them.
That's one of the main questions I think today is, like, they were probably the most impressive team yesterday in those games. Like, yeah. Yes, they technically had the easiest draw. Like, with it being Iowa State, I think Iowa State was probably the worst team in out of the four kind of, like, major conference champions. But they looked the best. So do they get that four spot? Do they jump Boise for the three spot? I think that would probably surprise me. But I bet they probably end up four, just with, and I think Clemson 11, SMU 12. It's probably how it should go just because they look the most impressive. I think the key
word was lose. Yeah, if you just woke up yesterday and decided you were going to start watching college football and you were told that these were the conference tournament games, like these are the best teams from each conference, now tell me what team do you think is the number one team in the country? Who would you have said?
Oh, Oregon and those unis all day.
Of Alabama. Yeah, I mean, if you saw the rankings, yeah, I think one versus three, you look at Oregon, they look dominant, but Penn State hung around. That game actually worried me a little bit.
I said off air, let me jump. I was shocked how fast Penn State was trying to play. I thought they were going to try to slow the game down a little bit. I was really surprised that they were, I mean, and their offense looked good. It was just their defense just was not good. I mean, just gave up too many points. But I was really shocked. I thought Penn State was going to try to run the ball more with Singleton Allen, try to slow it down a little bit in that game. And they really weren't. And then they got put in the hole a couple times, and they really came back and had to really push it down the field and go vertically.
Where was that play calling all season long for Penn State? Like, everything was clicking offensively. They were moving the ball down the field, passing game looked great.
They better enjoy it because he might be at West Virginia next year, being the main guy, the offensive coordinator. So,
yeah,
rocking my Oregon shirt. I will say it is very impressive, and I was hoping that ACC would have it happen too. But hats off to Army, Arizona State, Oregon, and almost SMU for being the first year to be in a conference, a new conference, and then be in the conference championship, almost win it. 3 out of 4 did. Pretty cool. We
have teams Auburn looked really good. I mean, Army looked really good out of the gate. Tulane looked like they didn't want to be there. That quarterback Army has, I mean, he's a workhorse. I thought somebody, whoever was doing the game cast, I think they said it best, like, the military guys, the good quarterbacks, good athletes that come out of it, like, they get super overshadowed by your Ashton Gentry and stuff like that. But stat-wise, I mean, there's, you know, does he deserve a spot at New York for the Heisman? You could probably make a decent argument. He was that team. You take him off, Army's not 11-1. And I think they're going to boat race Navy, and he's just going to have another stellar game. Like, the kid balls out, so kudos to him.
So what did y'all make of the SEC championship game?
Kirby. I think we saw it right. It was going to be a closer game. But, again, man, Kirby, it's hard to beat him.
That quarterback, what is it, Gunner? In the
ACC championship. Yeah, Gunner
Stockton.
Yeah.
My thing is, what really scares you about either of those teams? I mean, maybe their defensive lines, but outside of that, neither offensive line could block. Both linebacker groups are obviously great. Both defensive back groups gave up a ton of easy plays. We'll see what happens with the quarterback. Quinn Ewers just looks uncomfortable.
Quinn looks
very
so
uncomfortable. He makes some awesome throws where it's like, put like that one where he's kind of on the run and hits the guy down the sideline and couldn't have thrown it any better. And then literally throws the one off his back foot, trying to get 30 yards all the way across from the other hash to the sideline. It's, I don't know. He's very inconsistent. So I don't know. Nothing scares me. I think, and this is my homerism in Notre Dame, where it's like, yeah, like people can say we haven't played the best schedule, which we haven't. I think it's going to finish the year like 58th in strength of schedule or somewhere around there. But I haven't seen anybody where it's like, oh my gosh, this team would just put us in the ground. Or it's like, oh my gosh, like we can't handle this offense or this defense we wouldn't score on. So it, like, I think that's all the way around the country this year. Just Texas and Georgia was supposed to be the best game, supposed to be the two kind of best teams, and neither one looks like it.
Yeah.
Nick, well, I mean, you guys had a 58th ranked schedule, but you guys did take care of business outside of the NIU game. Mm-hmm. You guys were covering spreads, so, and that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're not supposed to have close games against shit teams. And outside of that game, you guys, you know, blew everybody out you were supposed to, and beat everybody you were supposed to. I'll answer your question, though. I think Texas doesn't scare me. Quinn Ewers regressed. They're down to like their fourth string running back. You could just kind of start to see that without a dominant running back. It really hurt him yesterday. But again, I've said it all year, like, this is the worst Georgia team we've seen in 5 years, but they still have Kirby Smart, and he's shows you yesterday, like, still one of the worst teams playing a very athletic Texas team. They can still win ball games. They're not pretty games, but they still have ETN. They still have, you know, an emerging tight end. Not Brock Bowers by any means, but he's come on as of late. Like, their linebackers can beat just about any running back side to side. They take away your screen game. It's hard to play and beat Georgia, and they are built four playoff games. Like, their mentality is there, and everybody kind of doubted them, saying Texas was going to win yesterday, and, you know, they didn't. And that's the thing I think that you have to be scared about. They don't have to be the best team, but they're still scary when you have to look across the sideline and see Kirby Smart scheming against you and making second half adjustments.
Yeah, I think Sark is probably kicking himself. They had so many opportunities to really close the door on that game, and then Gunner Stockton comes in, which you could say that the defense of Texas wasn't ready for that, but come on. But he gave them a better spark on offense than Carson Beck has.
Well, he's been wrong, and that's
I think that was the change. It was a change of pace. I think that kind of surprised them. First drive out of the half really took them down there quick. I mean, really, the kid made really one bad throw, and that was late in that drive that Texas went down and tied the game. And I don't even think he saw that guy. He was just trying to, I think, throw it out of bounds, and he didn't even see that other guy for Texas there. But I thought it was a spark for them. And again, I think home field, we said it on Friday's show, just them being there and where they were playing that game, I think that was a big part of it.
Yeah, where do you get Georgia at? In a, like, Georgia here is going to be a big one. This is, do they get the one, or do they get the two or the three? Could be interesting, because two, I believe, sends them to the Sugar Bowl.
I think we got to get them through.
Yeah, I think two gives him the Sugar Bowl.
I mean, nothing against Boise, but does Boise really deserve the two seed?
No, I don't think so. I'm with you there. But I do think it's interesting to see where they play, because you look at both of Georgia's losses on the road. You have both of their – you say all three of their really good wins, like Clemson was – they it called a neutral site. Everybody knows that's not a neutral site. Last night is called a neutral site. Everybody knows downtown Atlanta is not a neutral site for a Georgia football game. So let's see what happens if they, like, if they aren't in that neutral site, because they just, like, Ole Miss, what they did to them, what Bama did to them. So we'll see.
I think if they catch what the two seed will have, what the Sugar Bowl is what you're saying, Nick?
Yeah, two seed would be Sugar, one seed. Well, actually, one seed, I believe it's like the number they get, like, I believe they go down order in selection or something. It's something weird this year. So if it does, like, if Oregon's first,
that'll be another home game for Georgia. In the South, they're going to travel to the Sugar Bowl.
Unless it's, or, like, yeah, unless it's Texas. Or unless, yeah, unless it's, like, unless it's probably Reese Texas. Here. Taylor, let's start with you. Reese is the happiest guy right now.
Nobody's looking at Reese. I know what they're doing. Maybe we should do that.
Matt, we've always said we gotta bring the wives on. We probably have 1,000.
Jordan says Georgia at two, which somehow gives them better matchups. And yeah, and I think the five seed really gets a favorable matchup as well. But going back real quick, because Nick was talking about Notre Dame's strength of schedule is kind of one of their knocks. But if you look at the other playoff teams, it's right in line with everybody else. I mean, Oregon's 52nd, Texas is 26th, Ohio State 40th. Notre Dame 59. Then you've got Tennessee 56, Penn State 60, SMU 65, Indiana 72. So, I mean, it's not like you're getting a bunch of top 10 strength of schedule teams in here.
Yeah, yeah,
Florida Gators ranked number two strength of schedule.
Who had the number one?
Huh?
Who had the number one?
Oh,
preseason Florida.
At the end of the season.
Yeah, I actually just saw it. I want to UCLA. Say Mississippi State. Oh, I was Mississippi State.
Mississippi State was five based on our rankings, but the numbers haven't been ran yet for after this week.
You know, I think we're always going to have problems with this format.
And Georgia has the best. They were third.
Yeah. And how is Texas is so high?
And this is never going to happen, but you almost have to realign conferences. And the reason I say it is, like, I'll just use the SMU-Alabama strength of schedule comparison. Like, you put Alabama in ACC, realistically, are they running the table? More than likely.
Nice. Let's be honest. It's all about money.
It is. It is. But then let's say, back to the point, you put SMU in SEC. Like, can they really run an 11-1 in that conference?
No, they're probably going 7-5 or 8-4.
Yeah. So I think – so here's the problem, right? Like, are they deserving on paper record-wise? Sure. Reality-wise, SEC is tougher. It's hard to go to Texas and then wake up the next week and play Florida and Jacksonville, then travel to Auburn, like all these, and then Tennessee. It's so much harder, and I think it's deservingly so that the SEC gets the bias. It creates problems because now you have a three-loss Alabama because of who they play, like waking up day in and day out. These other schools, the ACC, the Big 12, like they've got to schedule big time non-conference opponents to even say, like, hey, we played Ohio State, we played Texas in an early game, or Florida. Like, you've got to put some meat on your schedule. When your best win ends up being Duke and Manny Diaz as a head coach for SMU, like, that doesn't look good. Your two ranked wins, both teams aren't ranked. Louisville's 8-4. And Pittsburgh at what, like 7-5? So those look like shit wins now. It's really hard to justify that. If you're going to justify that, and I'll say this, and it's some people can say it's outlandish, but why doesn't Army have just as good a chance as SMU? They both played shit schedules. One won their conference, the other didn't.
Yeah. Hey, Maddie, put the one comment up. And again, thanks for everyone being here and putting comments in the chat here. It was, right there. You know, and that's a good one because Brad Powers has been saying it, and I've been saying it too. Not trying to steal Brad's stuff, but it's all about TV ratings here. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, and I've been the big one that's saying I thought Alabama was going to get in. And I, you know, we were texting last night. I think if that game was anywhere from 7 or higher, SMU's out. And how they lost, I think that's the only reason why that game they're going to be in.
Yeah, they showed fight. They came back.
I agree.
If it was 7 or higher, I think we Alabama would be in any day. And it's exactly what he just said, because it's money. It's TV ratings. Brad Powers has been saying it, if you've been watching any of his stuff. And I 100% agree with him.
Well, at the end of the day, they don't want another 50-plus loss by TCU. I mean, that was one of the worst games to watch. And if you can avoid that at all costs, that's what they're going to do, whether it aligns with, you know, what we all want it to be or not. And it ties back to that money and who's going to provide the best games, the best chance to win. And, you know, if that's Alabama or SMU, like, that's their decision to be made. But bottom line is, we know the bigger program. Now, it may not be the case today, but that's why. I mean, nobody wants to watch a 63-7 championship game.
And I'll tell you right now, if you look at a lot of the championship game, cold Friday night, Tulane, Army, who is the more man team? Army. Who pounded the ball? Army. Arizona State yesterday against Iowa. Who pounded the ball? That's why I think Arizona State can go anywhere. I don't care if it's cold. You give him the ball, he's gonna run the ball. It's who can control the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, same thing for Georgia. When Georgia was taking control of that game, I mean, Carson Beck came in with like a broken elbow, and you knew, just stack the box. They're going to run it.
How bad?
Not throwing it.
Can we talk about that? You got Jalen Rashada suing Florida, goes to Arizona State. Your backup quarterback gets knocked out of the game for a play, and they bring in a quarterback whose arm's hanging down by his ankle to finish the game. I just thought that was a good storyline. Like, you think you're this greatest athlete, and you can't even come in as a third string for one play. I thought it was priceless as a Gator fan.
Cue up the cue getting one Florida mention here in a college playoff ranking show.
That's number two.
Remember, Michigan just beat Ohio State 2 weeks ago, everyone.
All right, quota recently. Anything about Arkansas real quick, Matt?
They're stupid for letting Luke Hosko.
Hey, can I just say, Slippery Rock, Final Four. Good luck, boys. Let's go get in the national championship.
Hey, why is Josh Braun leaving also, Matt? I thought he's a good lineman. Is he just
– I think the whole team is leaving. Right. We're down, I think, 4 defensive starters, 8 offensive starters.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It wasn't for lack of playing time, because I thought he did really well.
No. I thought we were going to fire Sam and bring back Rhett Lashley. Bring him home. But
I think we got to bring back the microphones on the last show for college football, and we've got to pitch why you should join our team as a new fan. And you have to decide.
Ugh.
Okay,
I got nothing.
Quick rant, short rant. Another, I'm just because I saw two more tweets about it, and it's like who Alabama would be favored over, like Alabama would be a 6-point favorite over SMU on a neutral. I am so sick of like that stuff, and that just like, and that like screams SEC bias right there, because it is. And I don't hate the SEC. Like, I'm not a hater of that. They've been the best conference for who knows how long. But to say that like a team should get in only because they'd be favored kind of takes out the point of even ever playing a football game. Like I mentioned it last week in our Discord, Oklahoma was, Bama was a 17.5-point favorite against Oklahoma, or no. Yeah, 17.5-point favorite against Oklahoma, where they finished, got beat by 31. They were a 20.5-point favorite against Vandy and got beat. So it's like, it's tough. See, I know, and it's like Ole Miss would dominate, maybe.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to expect. Like, there's no
unless the team that played Kentucky showed up.
Yeah, like if Kentucky showed up. And that was at home. Like, it's hard to tell. You can't just say, like, there. It's very just like, okay, we think so. But nothing, like there's no point in playing games if it was all just played on paper. So I think you have to earn your way in more than just who do we think is better.
And to follow up on that, Lane Kiffin's tweets are extremely cringy, because he's sitting here bragging about, yes, you beat Georgia. You lost to Kentucky, Florida, and LSU. Don't lose to them, one of those. Don't lose to one of those three. And you're in.
Yeah.
It's great you beat Georgia 28-10. Don't lose those other three.
Same with Bama. Bama's probably a 5 or 6 seed if you don't lose. Don't lose to Vandy, at Vandy. I don't care if, like, that's still a Vandy team as close as they were, and they were great at covering spreads. They still won 2 conference games, I think. So it's not like they were a great team. So it's like, come on, don't lose Oklahoma, don't lose to Vandy, and you're in. Like, take care of your own business and don't rely on other teams on a championship Saturday to help you get in.
That's fair. I mean, it's hard to argue. You've had 12 weeks to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this. What happens if, like, we put these teams in and they just get blown out? Like, is that what we're here for also?
But that happens.
I mean, I think we all –
I mean, that happens in basketball. Teams get in, they get boat raced. I mean,
and Alabama.
Yeah, well, there's a difference, though, between when you're – there's 68 teams versus 12.
This is – But every game's every game. You got to remember, these are 18 to 20, 21-year-old. Some Finley and some of these other guys are 27 or something. But, I mean, it's just, you know, it can happen. That's why competition's so great.
No, you're right. I don't know. It's
And Alabama proved they could get blown out. They got beat. I think Matt's 34 points to a team that hadn't scored 34 since week one of the season.
Matt said it best. It was a separate group chat. Whether we agree with it or not, like what their points are, or talking points, or decision points, like just come out and say what you're looking for, so we can at least say, okay, we at least know where you stand. Doesn't mean we agree with it or support it, but at least we've put it out there. This is what we're looking for. You know, X, Y, and Z, and then. There's none of this, well, what if versus like, hey, reality versus on paper, because you've already told us, you know, like it or not, these are what we're looking at.
But okay, so Mike,
but they won't do that.
If you put Boise State against any of the top teams, stack the box, take away the run game, maybe.
But they played the number one team in the country and only got beat by three.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you really have to look back a while, but some teams that you did not expect to be really good ended up being decent. The most recent, probably TCU beating Michigan. I don't think anybody really saw that happening. Now, granted, they got whooped by Georgia in the national championship, but they did beat Michigan. And then who would have been another team? Like, I'm thinking back Ohio State back in like the Cardale Jones when they were on their third string. Yeah. Nobody gave them a chance, and they beat – what, Alabama in the national championship, blew them out.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. You never know. Am I saying Florida State would have gone in with a backup quarterback last year and made noise in the playoff? Maybe, maybe not. But I think this at least gives us an opportunity to see. Because how shocked are we going to be if Clemson gets a good draw in the first round and now all of a sudden it's Clemson, Georgia in the semifinals? Like, we don't know. We don't know.
I mean, what's a good draw for Clemson?
I think they're going to be 11. If they're 11, it's either Penn State. They're either going to Penn State or to Texas.
I don't think that's a good draw at all.
I hope they
go. No, I think Clemson obviously is not very good. They're the one kind of spoiler of this perfect playoff picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think they should have gotten in. I don't care.
I kind of like that they got in because Brennan doesn't get anybody in NIL money. I think it throws a little wrench in it. I kind of like it.
If Clemson gets a bye, we're right. I agree. They're not getting a bye.
Yeah, they're not
gonna. They'll be like the 12th seed.
No.
Still have to play the games. Yeah, this is another thing, too, is that if the College Football Playoff Committee would come out and say what their guidelines are, like, what did they want to see?
Yes.
I think, one, win your games. Two, did you beat teams that were good, or did you just beat up on bad teams? And if you did beat up on bad teams, how badly did you blow them out? Because I think Kurt Cignetti has a case with Indiana saying margin of victory should count. Yeah, Indiana looked dominant. However, the one opportunity you had to show it, you kind of fell off the rails after the first quarter.
Yeah. Or do good losses matter more than good wins? Like from Penn State's standpoint. Like Penn State's played two good teams. They've lost them both. Best win is still Illinois. So it's like, but they're probably going to be the sixth seed most likely, or probably seventh. So it's one of those, like, yeah, like you said, what matters more?
I don't think there is such a thing as a good loss.
Agreed, but you know what I mean. You know, I'm just going off like what we hear everywhere on
Twitter, TV, and talking about that.
If they're okay, but if Alabama is 9-3 and all of their losses were in triple overtime by 1 point, it's still not a good loss. I don't care.
But I think they're in.
One, number two, number three team in the country. Like,
if that happens, they'd be in.
You have to win them.
I don't agree with that. And I'll tell you why. Because if Boise if Boise didn't play Oregon and lost, they're probably not in this game or in this. They're in it because their one loss was against the number one team.
And they won their conference.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, we act like Boise's this elite team, which they have a great running back. They lost to Oregon. That's a good loss. Like, you hung with the number one team in the country all year. It's not like they lost to Nevada. I mean, if you're going to lose a game, lose the one to the best team in the country in the polls.
Oh, so they're going to have SMU ahead of Clemson after – literally, we just saw that game on the field.
Yeah, I liked it, though. I thought Clemson would be the 12th seed. I mean, they're the, worst team to make it.
Todd McShay, I thought, had a good point. Can we just rank it the top 12, the top four seeds?
Yeah, I hate the way that they rank it. Everybody should just be an at-large.
I agree. The top four seeds, it doesn't matter if you win your conference or not. I mean, you can get an automatic bid, whatever, that's fine. But the top 12 teams that are decided, then we rank those teams, and you get your bye. Because right now, it's pretty shitty Notre Dame doesn't have a bye, and Boise does.
So, Texas and Georgia flip-flop. What a path for Texas. If Quinn Ewers did not
seven.
Great spot for Texas.
And what do you make that number? Texas Clemson.
Texas 9.5.
It'll be six. It'll be probably 6.5.
I was gonna go 7. I was gonna go 6.5, 7, 7.5.
It was two. It was what, 2.5 against South Carolina. I think it'll be 6.5, 7. So tough game,
hard fought game, losing in overtime. Are we assuming Penn State 6, Notre Dame 7?
Yeah, if Texas
I think it's flipped. But if that sounds like if Texas only went to 5th, then I don't know.
What did I text y'all last night? What I thought it would.
You had Penn State 6.
I think Penn State will still be high.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Oregon 1, Georgia 2.
Notre Dame is getting shot.
3, Arizona State 4.
So Indiana is most likely going to get – or, I mean, Notre Dame is most likely going to get Indiana, and it looks like – yeah, Penn State's going to get SMU at home. And then Tennessee, Ohio State.
Penn State might not throw past the entire game.
So here's what – so the next part's what screws Notre Dame is that Notre Dame's game, second game is either Oregon or Georgia if you win your first one.
Not an objectionable path for Penn State. We'll see who they play. So back when SMU was getting blown out, this is where I had Bama. But now it's going to be SMU. We're right.
Yes.
This should be SMU. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be SMU. But they did play Ohio
State. They did play Oregon. Are they going to make us wait for it? Two losses.
They come in as a 16. I know. Let's go. Let's
do that last
one. Let's go.
Well, I can't remember. Somebody tweeted out and said they understand that they have so many viewers up until that NFL window. They are going to take full advantage of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy because, like, on the regular Tuesday nights, they're out within, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just bang, bang, bang. Yeah. Let's talk. Beneath the golden dome in the
shadow of Touchdown Jesus, the word of life. Touchdown Jesus, December 20th, 21st.
Look at the all whites.
Hey, you gotta love there's gonna be football at Notre Dame.
Please give me snow on the ground. Stadium, please. Give me snow on the ground.
Give me, yeah, it's gonna be hopefully. A home game as the 7th seed.
Once we get to the 10, we'll find out their matchup. How do you think Riley Leonard matches up against Georgia?
One thing I'm going to ask, dude, I like it.
I like it too. I like it too.
Jalen Miller kind of gave that quarterback
situation.
Yeah.
No, I mean offensively though. But that blueprint is like with what Jackson Dart on a injured ankle ran for 70 something yards. Jalen Miller ran for 148 in the first half alone. I think that's like I said, I would much rather have Georgia than Oregon.
We get the matchup.
Oh, wait, so they flip-flopped. Did they? No, they didn't. Never mind.
No.
No, so we're going to get Ohio State, Oregon, part two.
You should get Tennessee right at 9. We still going to Tennessee.
We don't, because I hope Ohio State.
We're still thinking Tennessee at 9, right, against Ohio State?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not buying Tennessee. I think they're fool's gold.
And you're going to get Indiana against Notre Dame, probably, then SMU there.
Yeah.
Against Penn State. Ohio State's going to be at
Better watch out for those.
Believe in Ohio State, though? You say Tennessee's fool's gold. Like, what has Ohio State shown you that makes them so much better?
Well, that's true. They're both very similar. I mean, because if you look at power ratings per conference, they're probably in the same spot. They're the second or third, fourth, fifth.
I'm not trusting Ohio State's quarterback play against Tennessee's defense.
I hope Tennessee's defense plays well.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I said it the other night. I'll probably go
under
in that game. Under
whatever number this is.
Although I said
just home field. I think home field.
Just under last night in both Michigan ACC did. And Big Ten championship games, and they scored 1,000 points. So
this will be 47.5, 48.5, I would assume.
Andrew Beck and Etienne, Georgia lateral offensive defense. Yep, I agree. It hadn't been the best. Nico might get eaten alive in that matchup.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Next game. I mean, Michigan's quarterbacks didn't get eaten alive in that game, and they're way worse than Nico.
Well, they only threw for 6 yards.
Yeah, but Nico can run. You have a great running back. Good line.
Their offensive line is very good. Ohio State.
I mean, Michigan ran all over Ohio State.
Jordan said Clemson team total under 10.5. I agree. I think Texas's defense.
Nah, I'd go over that.
I'd go over that.
They'll score. I think they'll. Klubnik had a nice game. I mean,
he'll get 14 touchdowns. To 17 up.
He's very up and down. I will think be Texas curious wins that game, but I think that's cool.
I'm not buying Clemson, y'all.
I've got Clemson in the 14 to 17.
You're just pissy because they beat SMU last night. Let's be honest.
No, I thought that they probably would because Dabo has been there before. But the way that they let SMU come all the way back in the second half, I mean, it all came down to that field goal.
Because
if it goes to overtime, I think SMU wins.
Well, they made mistakes. They made mistakes early. I mean, that put them in a hole. I mean, we saw that with the Tulane game on Friday. Too many mistakes.
Yeah, they do have the Lady Vols where it's kind of like the baby blue.
Yeah, the old or the old smoky. It's kind of like that slate bluish gray. Let's wear those. Georgia
in the quarterfinals. You know what I do like back in Notre Dame again, and I mentioned it kind of sucks where they're
getting Georgia second. It.
Where they're getting Georgia second, but if you look at who they get in the semi, you're getting either Boise State or most likely Penn State. Like, so like their actual semifinal game is going to be easier than the quarterfinal.
God, look at that comparison.
Okay, now put the losses up there.
Yeah,
why do they always do that?
Why are they milking it?
We know it's they refuse to put the losses.
Yeah. A ledger that will be ranked in the top 15 to 20. I wonder what they're saying. I think the biggest gap right there is the key wins, and I think that's what Coach Saban was talking about. You look at the key wins for Alabama versus the key wins for SMU, being Louisville, Duke, Pitt, TCU. I mean, there is a mile apart in having to go through those schedules.
I know that I'm dragging this up. I want to say this before we get to
yes, that. You are.
But SMU had opportunities to lose, too. They almost lost, the second to last week of the regular season, and they found a way to win.
Alabama has a couple ugly losses.
It took them everything to beat Nevada in week one.
Yeah.
They're going to get criticism either way.
How they were playing Preston Stone over this, shocking.
And the final spot in the college football playoff.
Army.
It's SMU.
Last night. If they didn't come back last night, it was Alabama.
I think if it was seven or more, they were gone. I think if it was seven or more, they weren't in. I think they said we have
to. SMU, Penn State. What's the line?
Do you think they had, if we had cameras in that room and they came back and tied it, they were probably like, crap, we're going to have to actually put this team in.
Alabama probably. First team
out and the second what do we have that line?
That's also giving it, like I said last week, that's giving the committee a lot of credit that we actually think they watched all the games.
I wish when they did that live video, them watching it, a couple of them were sleeping in the chair. That would be great. Nick has talked
about this all year. How about they had that 84-inch with about 232s next to it?
Has to matter, has to be important, whether that's talking about Alabama or
anything. So what do we think here?
If you want all right, we'll just go down. We'll break the lines.
You have to take that into consideration. What's your reaction, Nick, to seeing
Clemson, the Texas. Decision
the committee made with that final spot?
Well, I think one of the things that I've mentioned throughout this football season
put the steel shot up there.
If we don't take strength of schedule into consideration, is there any benefit to scheduling really good teams in the future? Like, you know, here at Alabama,
we're yes, supposed to
play Notre Dame, yeah. Ohio State,
I was Wisconsin, what he said.
Florida State in the future outside.
It's not wrong. League. Why schedule tough teams?
Games for fans.
In fairness, they only scheduled one. Like in that's Wisconsin, right. Was
who did Alabama schedule tough?
Wisconsin is literally
the SEC.
No, you don't schedule the SEC.
Yeah, you don't schedule the SEC.
Don't schedule that. Why even be in the conference?
People wanting
exactly that's what Notre Dame's been saying for 100 years.
He may go cancel all those games now.
They have naked pictures on somebody for not having to join a conference.
At the same time, I do think
the best. I just don't understand. I mean, you heard. Did y'all see Kirby Smart take a shot?
No coach should have any complaint about what. No,
I mean Alabama doesn't have to schedule anybody tough because
they didn't really play everybody tough in the SEC either.
They all had opportunities.
Georgia tough. LSU 8-4. South Carolina 9-3. One of the toughest teams as of late.
For like each and every team and every individual.
LSU runs the table in ACC. I'll be full bias. Like, you put just about any team.
They got beat by you. They got beat by USC, who went 5-5 in the Big Ten, or 6-6 in the Big Ten.
I think we all look at
Alabama. So do they? I don't think they go undefeated in ACC.
We applaud the effort and what they did.
We all thought that week Miller Moss was legit. It just didn't pan out.
The loss at Oklahoma ultimately had to do them in because if you put the resume,
I think the coach is overrated.
And Alabama.
I mean, at some point, though, there's got to be a reality. Like,
it gives them an advantage, but they lost that game.
The ACC can go play Howard University and win, and it counts the same as a tough win against Georgia.
We've said this every week, the last couple weeks. It's like the basketball. Every year, there's going to be a team like South Carolina was probably playing one of the best football at the end of the year.
And they're probably more deservingly than SMU.
You got the quarterback that's a monster. You know, the biggest thing about Bama was you went out, and again, cold atmosphere in Oklahoma. And you got boat raced, and you showed no light. That probably did it for Bama. And again, I still think they would have got in if Clemson would have just beat them by 7 or more. I think they somehow would have got them in because of TV. Because this is all about TV, right?
And I don't want to sit there and say like I'm solely vouching for Alabama. I'm just using them because they were the comparison. South Carolina has played some of the best football we've seen over the past 7 weeks.
But then
they could absolutely wreak havoc in this. They deserve just as much, in my opinion. Ole Miss, I think, would create a way better matchup than SMU.
Every other tournament
Army, if you're going to compare, like, say, SMU schedule doesn't matter, then give it to Army, who's won their conference title. I mean,
because of what they
we're at the same schedule. Like, a win's a win at that point. Army has less losses than SMU. So
I think it comes down to Army had one game, and that was that Notre Dame game, and they got beat bad.
That's not necessarily true.
Probably.
The fifth seed has the best chance.
And I'll say this, in defense of Army, Notre Dame plays the military schools every single year. They're one of the few teams
play,
that it wouldn't give trouble. I mean, Smitty, we watched Army give Michigan a run for their money in double overtime because Michigan doesn't generally schedule that kind of offense.
Disciplined
team. Notre Dame does every year.
You saw it Friday night.
Just Navy.
No turnovers, no penalties Friday night.
Yeah, but Navy and Army, they all run the same offense, so you're very familiar.
I think we can learn from that.
Yeah, like there's teams that Army could give help all game long because you're just not used to it.
Guarantees we're making, you win a conference, or you guarantee to buy. I agree. Just seed them 1-12. Absolutely. And let's see how things stack up.
Okay, let's see.
But this was a very difficult.
About to pull up some odds to see if they're up yet.
Because there was really.
Yeah. You want to go through the bracket?
What I was waiting on.
Gosh, the better.
Yeah, I'm getting the graphic.
You had
for the
consequences on both sides.
Oh, for the odds.
You put Alabama in the field. You are now de-incentivizing participation in a conference championship game because SMU had they decided not to play. The ACC title, they say, we're not going to go.
McElroy said, if you put Bama in, you're basically de-incentivizing the conference championship game.
Yep.
Or you're going to de-incentivize.
To why even play? Because you can get 3 losses.
Teams being willing to go out of conference and play more difficult opponents. So there was no way.
And in fairness, that's one of the few things that the committee did stick to their word. They said, we're not going to punish teams who lose their conference championship game. They didn't punish Texas. They didn't punish Penn State. They didn't punish SMU.
I would also be curious. I would have liked to have seen one of those be a blowout and see. They're all close games.
That's a good point there.
I do think if SMU loses by 10 plus yesterday, I don't think they're in.
Yeah, I think I was thinking more of, do they resort teams with like their new rank, or their new like results? Like, so do you look at Texas now? Like, do you look at Texas now as a 10-2 team, and you compare them to other 10-2 teams with zero top 25 wins on the entire year? So the fact that they didn't do that and they just like moved in basically to kind of kept them as high as they could, I think at least they stuck to their word there, because I'm sure they were very scared. I'm sure every conference commissioner, not just Sankey, had to be in their ear going, "You better not take our money away from what we make from these conference championship games. They need to continue to matter, no matter how big of a playoff we have."
No, you're right.
Did y'all see how fast the odds changed last night for playoffs? It was like minus 400, and then 1,000. It was minus 5,000, like in an instant.
And then back down to like 560, and then back up in the thousands.
Oh, I would have bet it at 560. Like that, it was a foregone conclusion at that point.
All right, let's run this bracket. Clemson, Texas.
There are no lines up yet.
No, wait, we'll just do money line right now.
Nope, I got lines.
Here Texas we go. Clemson, 11.5.
10.5.
Okay. Oh, I said 9.5. I was right there.
DraftKings. Tennessee, Ohio State. Ohio State is -7. Total 46.5.
No way. Tennessee.
Indiana's 8 plus 8.5 against Notre Dame. Total 49.5.
I'm buying Tennessee up to 7.5.
And SMU it. Plus
look at that Tennessee Ohio State total 47.5. That's basically spot on.
I think that's like a 24-20 game.
Dude,
what was the Penn State one?
That's I don't see a Penn State one yet.
What was it?
Penn State -9.5 over SMU. I'll be on SMU.
I'd be on SMU too. Conditions are key in that, I think.
Yeah. What's the over under in that?
52.5.
Under.
If it's under. Cold. Under. Yeah. No. Yep. Could be bad.
Yep.
I grew up right outside there by December 20th. Happy Valley's going to be
nuts, though.
I don't know if SMU could play in the cold for four quarters, letting the running backs just beat them up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was like 38 degrees last night in Charlotte. I don't know what the difference is going to be.
Well, it depends.
Snow.
The snow can give a lot of – I mean, the offense has the key in that. But State College, December 20th or 21st, if you get wind and it's just cold, that could be down to like 5 degrees, 10 degrees.
Here's what I kind of like about this Indiana-Notre Dame matchup is it's the two teams that I feel like people have said, well, who have they beaten? Like, who's their most impressive win? And they both – just take care of business. So I'm curious to see. One's in a conference, one's not.
What was the line?
8.5. I'm probably going to have to be on Indiana there.
I was hoping to catch that under 7.
I think Notre Dame wins, but I think it's a field goal game. Maybe 3 or 4 points.
Not I think that's a Notre Dame Texas money line parlay.
Square. But I like it.
Whatever. It's plus money.
I think this is one of those I think this is one of those back up to Ohio State Indiana type of matchup where it's like NFL athletes versus your upper echelon of the kind of group of five guys that transferred into Indiana. I just don't think that's something Indiana's ready for.
Notre Dame should also be healthy. They had a defensive back.
Notre Dame in that one for sure.
Who has better athletes though, Ohio State or Indiana or Notre Dame?
On the line, Notre Dame outside and like position wise, Ohio State.
I think that's where they struggled though. Elite. They couldn't match up against the receivers and the running backs. I don't know.
Well, I'll take Jeremiah Love. Love's going to be the first running back taken in the draft next year. Yeah. But Notre the question is, he got banged up against
Ohio State.
Yes.
So if they couldn't score on Ohio State, they're going to have a really hard time against Notre Dame secondary.
Clemson, Texas. We got Texas moving on.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Ohio State.
Here's where we're going to differ. I know where Matt's going. I'm going Tennessee.
I think Tennessee gets it.
I think Tennessee covers. I think Ohio State wins.
I think they cover too. I'm going to Ohio State to win the game.
2-2
SMU, Penn State.
Penn State.
I think SMU covers, but I think Penn State wins.
I think Penn State. Yeah, I kind of like the ATS for SMU. It depends on conditions. I'm not saying that yet. Penn State.
Especially wins if that number gets over 10.
Penn State wins the game though.
That's the one matchup where the format of letting the higher seed host this year is that's the one where it makes the biggest difference. That game. Yeah.
Indiana, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
I think Indiana may cover. Notre Dame wins.
Same here.
I think Notre Dame could blow them out.
I agree. All right, Texas, Arizona State.
I think Arizona State could give them a run for their money.
I do too. I think they would be able to run.
I saw
ETN last night kind of do what he wanted.
I don't know I'm going to go on a limb here and say Arizona State can win that game outright.
I think Texas wins.
How funny would that be? And how great for college football?
It's great.
Texas wins. I think they do a little bit more Arch Manning. They switch it up a little bit, hopefully.
That was another thing, too, is I don't know why we didn't see more Arch.
No, and I said it. Everything you heard all week was about in the red zone, and there are going to be packages, and then they never did.
Quinn got one so carry. Bad. I mean, making freshman mistakes, staring down that receiver on the sidelines and forcing it just to throw a pick. Terrible. All right. So I'll say Ohio State, Oregon. I know y'all say Tennessee, Oregon. I think if it's Ohio State, Oregon, I wouldn't put it past Ryan Day to pull one out and get the win. But for all intents and purposes, I'll say
Oregon advances either way.
Either one.
Yeah. I think Oregon would rather see Tennessee just matchup-wise. Because Tennessee's biggest thing, like being as good as they are on the offensive line and defensive line, Oregon kind of takes that out of your hands with their quick passing game. Let them, like Tez Johnson, we saw, like just get the ball in his hands as fast as possible.
Yeah.
I don't think Tennessee has the firepower. And like Tennessee's biggest struggle is their secondary. I just think matchup-wise, that would be an issue. So I think Oregon would rather see Tennessee instead of Ohio State. But like I said, I think it's Tennessee, and then I think Oregon beats them.
All right, Penn State, Boise State.
This would be Fiesta. No, Arizona State will get the Fiesta Bowl.
Home game.
Cotton Bowl, I guess.
Penn State travels pretty well.
Higher spread, like if Penn State's favorite, I might take Boy, but you know, I don't know. I mean, Penn State would be favored in this.
Man,
I don't know. I mean, maybe Penn State. I don't know. I mean, it's just. I think Penn State's a better team, though.
I think Penn State could win because they have a guy named Warren, and I think that's the difference. Like, I think they could allow Genty to score, but they could somehow get more.
Was Warren number 44?
Yeah.
I swear every single time I looked up my TV, he was catching a pass.
Yeah.
Him and Singleton. Is Singleton 10? They're really their entire offense. Penn State should win, but Franklin's still the coach. Yeah, but Boise State is not a top five team.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I'm probably going to say Penn State, but I think Boise State would cover.
Yeah, I think Boise could cover that ball.
I think they'll be able to run the ball. Jordan
James would be Boise, kind
of having his way.
Boise State would be plus 13. So I have these real quick. I can go over these. So the Arizona State would get the Peach Bowl. Clemson would be plus 1.5. And then Texas would be minus 13.
Oh, Arizona
State. Massive, massive difference there. Wow. Fiesta Bowl. So Boise would be Fiesta Bowl. SMU would be by 7.5. Penn State would be by 13.
Boise covers.
Give me Boise State.
I don't think we're valuing Arizona State, Boise State is enough.
I just said Arizona money line. Arizona State. Yeah. Cover
then,
plus one.
Yeah. So Georgia gets the Sugar Bowl. That would be Indiana. Georgia would be a 7-point favorite. Notre Dame, they'd be a 1-point favorite.
Wow.
So basically pick them with Notre Dame, seven with Indiana.
Are they putting in that maybe that's to the backup quarterback?
I would assume so. I mean, just projections, you can only do it so far. Okay. And then Rose Bowl would be Oregon. They'd be favored by 4 over Tennessee and favored by 1 over Ohio State.
I mean,
that's about where I'd have it.
Yeah. Now, they still think Oregon advances regardless.
By that measure, Oregon has the toughest
yeah.
path. as far Oregon as the odds would be, regardless of what opponent.
And then, and then Georgia is basically under a touchdown either way too.
Yeah. Well, if it's Notre Dame, Georgia, who are y'all going with?
Backup quarterback. I'm going Notre Dame.
Accused himself from answering.
Backup quarterback for Georgia. I'm going Notre Dame.
Well, here's the thing. At this point, if Texas,
would I not rather have Beck? I don't care if you're Notre Dame, which quarterback you're throwing out there.
I'm still higher on Beck than a lot of people.
Yeah, I get it. I don't think Notre Dame cares. There's just been nothing that has proven anything so far this year outside of one or two big games. If I'm Notre Dame, please give me a backup quarterback who has made zero starts in college in a quarterfinal game.
Todd, are you Hannah Cavender or Todd Smith? I don't know.
What's that?
I said, are you Hannah Cavender or Todd Smith? I don't know. Standing over here for Carson Beck.
That's his
girlfriend.
I did say that on a text yesterday. Just get the blonde by him and maybe he'll wake up a little bit. But I don't know. There's times that he still, to me, looks good as a quarterback. Ooh. And there's other times it's a head scratcher too. So this whole quarterback class is going to be tough going into the NFL. Is same thing. Nick says he makes some really good throws at times, and other times he doesn't.
Those games will be televised.
There you go.
Yeah, real quick. So Penn State's at noon. Notre Dame gets a night game in South Bend. Yes.
Saturday afternoon.
Ohio State night game in Columbus.
Nick, can you get me my favorite Notre Dame player of all times, Alan Payne, from like the 80s? Can you give me a jersey for the playoffs here? You know who Alan Pinkett is? I know I'm a lot older than you.
Yeah, I think they were called sweaters back then, I believe. Okay. I believe they were sweaters.
A little Jerry Faust, Alan, RIP, a little Alan Pinkett. Let's go.
That night game in South Bend.
Yes. I'll get you a Rudy was offside shirt.
Rudy wasn't real.
Yeah, Rudy, you missed that. You weren't here. We said getting you a Rudy wasn't real shirt.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. They commented. They were talking crap about Notre Dame and said somebody said Rudy isn't even real.
He is a real person.
On a t-shirt, give it to you.
He is a real person, but that story, yes, is very overly exaggerated in the movie. Yeah.
Rudy and Rocky Balboa, two United States legends. All right. I would say, because I didn't answer yet, if Beck's playing, I think Georgia can squeak it out and close. If it's the backup, I think Notre Dame advances.
When the other games are played,
doesn't help, but I think it changes the game drastically.
Indiana and Notre Dame will be in prime time on
Friday
night.
Well, whenever that commissioner comes on, I am curious to hear what he had to say about what they ended up valuing.
Tennessee and Ohio State, 8 o'clock Eastern time. On Saturday night, and the other games will
be. So then we would be left with what? Texas,
Turner will have
Oregon,
still will be ESPN production,
and
Penn State.
Mac, we continue with our playoff selection special. Ward Manuel, the chair of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, will join us to break down the committee's thinking on the seeding.
Why is he just standing there staring? So, going back to this real quick during the commercial break. Who's national championship? I think,
Oregon and
honestly, I think it's Oregon, Notre Dame.
I like Oregon, Notre Dame.
Please. I hope it's Texas, Notre Dame, but I think it'll be Oregon.
Yeah, it's Oregon, and I'll say just to – Notre Dame can absolutely get there. I think Georgia could get there, depending on who plays quarterback. It's going to be the winner of the Notre Dame Georgia's playing Oregon. I think it's the easiest way to say it.
Here's the thing. If it works like March Madness, if I pick Notre Dame to win it all, they're going to lose to Indiana. I swear, I feel like every year it's like, oh, yeah, I'm so confident in filling out my bracket. And then it's like I'll pick a 2 or 3 seed to go all the way, and then they lose in the first or second round.
Mm-hmm. With Ken's point, do we think specifically Happy Valley, like, does it matter if it's a night or a day game? That place rocks. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is.
I think this one being a day game could actually benefit them just because it'll be like I could see an early, because it's also a time change for SMU too. So it's 11 a.m. It's an 11 a.m. And was that on Friday or Saturday?
Just announced moments ago, and we are pleased to be joined.
Also, that's a Friday. That's even worse.
Friday. Ward Manuel,
also the athletic director at Michigan.
All right, here we go.
We'll go through this. There are a lot of things to get to. Let's start first with inclusion. Alabama and SMU.
This is going to be brutal.
There was a significant difference in strength of schedule between the two. There was a significant difference, we assume, when we see the rest of the rankings in number of ranked wins. How did the committee come to the balance between making sure SMU wasn't penalized or the committee wasn't punitive toward them for playing a conference championship game as opposed to putting the appropriate value on strength of schedule?
Well, Reese, good to be with you again. And your debate on television really sums up the debate in the room. We looked at the number of wins that Alabama had against ranked opponents. We looked at SMU's schedule, and they were undefeated in conference. Their losses were to ranked teams. But we also looked at Alabama's loss to unranked teams. And it was quite a debate.
Thank you.
We value strength of schedule. That's why Alabama, as a three-loss team, is ranked ahead of other teams that have two losses. It is something that we talk about quite a bit. But in the balance of it, in the way SMU played in that game, losing on the last second field goal, great win by Clemson, a great game.
That just told you they we just the, felt the that way they came back determined them getting in.
SMU still had the nod at 10 above Alabama, but it's no disrespect to Alabama's strength of schedule. It's merely looking at the entire body of work for both teams.
It's human nature, Ward, to focus on that last spot. We do it every year, whether it's four teams or 12 teams. But we just put a graphic up on the screen that also included Indiana. I know the way the committee goes about ordering and ranking these teams once you get to the various steps. You often wind up with three teams. Did Indiana ever come under the same type of scrutiny that SMU and Alabama did relative to each other, relative to those three teams?
Absolutely. We did that the week prior. We did it this week. We talked about where teams are and looked at their schedule again, looked at who they played, who they beat, how they played in those games in terms of their schedule and their strength of schedule. All of those things were discussed quite heavily, actually, in the grouping of those teams as you look at them and how they came out to be ranked.
How would you characterize tonight? You guys often get a chance to watch games together. As Clemson built a big lead, did you sense anything shifting in terms of the perception of SMU early in that game as opposed to when the Ponies made the big rally and it came very close to being able to pull it out?
Well, I think, you know, we all recognize that Clemson really started off strong in that game and SMU was having difficulty in the first half of the game. But as we watched the whole game, we were impressed with the fact that SMU came back the way that they did.
I mean, SMU beat themselves in the first half. Very well. Like that one, I think it was more SMU than it was Clemson. Down,
Kevin Jennings kept throwing. He threw that one pick. It was just off.
He was doing. I wonder he was kind of like spinning and avoiding those two guys and just off his back foot.
Saw the difference between the first half of that game and the second half.
Yeah, let's look at a couple of other things with the bracket, Warden. It's something that we've pointed out for quite some time. We talked about how advantageous it might be to be the 5 seed, but as it turns out, the way things have fallen, it might be the 6 seed instead that is deemed more advantageous. Oregon's the only undefeated team in the country. You guys have deemed them the best team in this playoff. They are the Big Ten
Tennessee or Ohio State.
Beat Penn State.
Here,
and then when you look at their quarterfinal game against either Ohio State or Tennessee, it might be that the Ducks have a more disadvantageous road than the 6 seed Penn State does in taking on an SMU team that barely made it in and Boise State, who is not quite as highly ranked. How do you evaluate that? And what's your suggestion for moving forward with the committee and taking care of the teams that are deemed to be the best, like Oregon?
Yeah, Reese, I mean, we ranked the teams 1 through 25. That's what we've been asked to do. We don't discuss, well, if we put this team at one, and we moved this team. This team's 8 or 9, and they're going to be playing each other, and we need to go back and reconsider.
I hope they ask more. Michigan was
top 25. We've been asked.
They're at 26
to rank.
Yeah, I'm confused. Where's our teams
1 through 25?
Here's what I don't like. I'll say this.
What the commissioner set up.
They said they proved that they're not going to, or they hinted that they're not going to allow a loss to hinder.
As we see the teams in the tournament,
hinder right your stance.
Turns out,
he just completely went against that by saying we recognize they came back.
In terms of 8-9,
because it wouldn't have mattered if they lost by 40 or 4 with that thought process of we're not going to punish them, win or loss.
Yeah, that is a good point. Unless he just meant whether they were the 11 or 12 seed, but he didn't say that. You're right.
Yeah, he didn't specify. Like, so if that's what you're going to say, that the comeback last night was the only reason they made it, unless he corrects to what
there would be one received. If you chose Alabama, it was going to be conference championship games don't matter as much as we have said that they do. And if you chose SMU, then it was going
NFL
to disincentivize
kickoff has begun. We
adding risk to
Pittsburgh
your schedule,
Steelers.
The part you can control.
The Steelers.
As an athletic director, which you are in your day job for the most
part. Okay, so what do you guys think?
How
do you
does the conference game matter here? I think it was the last question.
Oh, yes.
Well, I think, Reese, you know, one of the things we have to understand is that on the conference side, you can't control who you play. You can't control how those teams will be playing and how highly ranked they will be or not. But what we also value is competition and playing competition in the non-conference. And if you schedule that way or in the conference. And so we look at who these teams play. And from my perspective, I think what we did is, and what we said is those teams, we're going to look at these last games and use it as a data point to determine how we will rank teams. And those teams, if you look at those games that were played very closely, those teams weren't penalized in the terminology that people use.
But it also wasn't used as a data point either.
Team or not, but in the sense of penalizing a team, we looked at the game they played. SMU played a game against Clemson and lost by 3. And so for us, it just came down to watching the games. We watched those games together.
Contradicting what he's trying to say every sentence.
They earned the right to be in those conference championships, and we value watching those games and seeing the results and the outcome. And so for us, as an AD, I would just say to athletic directors, you have to schedule the games that you need to schedule in the non-conference that you feel is best for your team, for your fan base. I look forward. We played Texas this year. I don't lament the fact that we played Texas at home. I'm not going to lament that we have Oklahoma away next year as an athletic director. I look forward to those games. And if we do well, it will give us a boost. And if we don't, then we have to.
I will say this. Penn State has a good draw. But can James Franklin, this is the time to show it, buddy.
Win the games you're
good luck.
Good luck. Win.
Ken says
paper,
it's a failed system at the end of the day.
Those other games.
That's like, what I was just saying.
But it's not, you know, I want to just make sure.
Okay, I was just going to bring up, like, I guess he's basically done. If you throw the bracket back up there, I just wonder, because it'd be very easy to do. Like, why not reseed the teams after round one and just say, like, so that this doesn't happen. So, like, say, whatever, the like your highest ranked left. Say SMU beats Penn State. So there's an 11 left. Then 11 is who plays Oregon, and then like so on and kind of so forth. Like it wouldn't be hard.
You're defeating the purpose of being the number one overall seed
right now. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right now. Yeah. What's the point?
100%.
And it's not like the old days where it's like, oh no, this travel is so hard. Like all these schools, look at these schools that are up here. Like the smallest one is SMU, and that's one of the richest, like that's one of the richest private schools in the country, and is in downtown Dallas. These schools are flying private anyways. It's not hard to tell a team that, oh no, instead of flying to Arizona, you have to fly to New Orleans. Like that makes no difference in a week's time. So I think this would be easily solved, which will probably be next year. I think there's going to be some complaints because of like how this turned out, like those, especially kind of SEC Big Ten, where it's going to be like, why did it shake out like this? I think next year it probably ends up reseeding or some sort of thing to actually give the advantage to who's 1 and who's 2.
So I've got the A couple of nuggets here. Easiest overall Power Four schedule was SMU. The easiest Power Four non-conference schedule was Ohio State. And the, let me think.
I'm trying to think who Ohio State even played out of conference.
Yeah, terrible teams.
Like, it's not even ringing a bell. That's pretty much all you need to know.
This was on ESPN. I don't know what you call this. I mean, he's sitting here saying that you're going to value scheduling a tough opponent. And if you win, it obviously matters. And if you lose,
well, then it'll be considered.
Obviously, yeah. It obviously doesn't matter.
It's also schedule cupcakes.
It's also very dependent on like other teams too. Like, so, and I brought this up either last week or 2 weeks ago when we did this. You look at Notre Dame's preseason schedule, and they were like preseason, like they had the fourth hardest schedule in the country preseason because they had Texas A&M, who was 12th. They had Florida State, who was 7th. They had USC, who I believe was 13th or 14th.
Yeah.
They had Louisville, who was like 20 or 21. So there's five right there. And that didn't even count what Army turned into. So it's like you can schedule certain things, but you can't determine like what that team turns into. Like, yes, it would have looked great in the past if Alabama would have played on the road at Wisconsin. This year, Wisconsin is a 500 team.
Yeah.
So it's,
well, and that's what he said, and I appreciated that, that you can't control what the teams end up having. Like, mm-hmm. We didn't know that Alabama's SEC schedule might not be as hard as Georgia's was. Like, you just don't know what the teams end up being. I mean, I didn't think North Carolina was going to be a 9-3 team.
To that point, Matt, it's inherently obvious, and I use the term mediocre. Mediocre in SEC is on a much higher level than mediocre in the Big 12 or ACC. Those mediocre losses are way different than a mediocre loss in those conferences. Those mediocre teams in the SEC, what do you think Arkansas does in the ACC?
I mean, look, we lost to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State was a
big the worst team at the beater.
You can't even say that because Notre Dame lost to NIU as 22-point favorites.
But I'm saying 27 week in and week out, if you're matched up against those schedules,
get it right.
I understand, you have to play your schedule, but at the end of the day, the SEC schedule is inherently harder.
I don't think you can say that every team top to bottom is mediocre.
What do you mean? I mean, okay, who's elite in the ACC?
Well, I mean, I would say Miami, SMU, and Clemson would be your top three.
Okay,
so I'm looking at SMU's schedule. Okay,
so then there's a massive drop off.
Let's compare it. At Nevada, Arkansas probably wins. Houston Christian win. BYU loss. TCU
toss up.
Florida State maybe win. At Louisville loss.
No, Stanford, I wouldn't say that.
Maybe a win.
I take Louisville over Arkansas.
I would too. At Duke, at Stanford.
Oh,
they're losing Stanford. One of those two.
They beat Stanford.
Pitt.
They can beat Pitt. Pitt's 7-5.
Boston College. Missouri.
I mean, that's a lot of
Boston College.
They're around 500 in that conference. They're around 500 with that schedule as well.
At Virginia.
I fully disagree.
Cal beat Auburn.
I think it's they're Texas still A&M. 6-6. I think Arkansas is still 6-6, 7-5.
I think the SEC is a little overrated personally, but
I do too. I think there is a lot more parity than people think. And if you disagree, take your team, take a comparable team from another conference, look at their schedule. Go on our website, use the matchup predictor, see which ones they would be projected to win in.
Can I just say, looking at the bracket, I want to see what Clemson can do against Texas. Because I think still, I like Dabo. I think Dabo's a good coach, and I give him a lot of respect for not doing the NIL stuff, and he stands now. Is he a smart guy doing that? No, probably not. I want to see if they can compete in that game. I don't think they can. I think they'll lose, but I think that's an interesting team to see how they go. And it's all about the quarterback again, because he can be on fire in some games, and other games he doesn't look that great.
All right. Well,
interesting.
This is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We'll have like 3 weeks off before college football playoff, but we will come to you with bowl previews, yada, yada. We'll be back. Not exactly sure when, but if you guys don't have anything else, we'll close it out. Go watch some NFL. We'll
see. Smitty. Good college basketball game on today, too.
Smitty, best bet of the day. Go.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know. Arizona Cardinals to beat money line against Seattle.
Nick?
Texas minus 1.5 at home against UConn. College Ooh. Basketball.
Q?
Steelers, Dolphins, money line parlay.
All the games have already started.
Steelers ready to punch one in here. Let's go.
I'm going to continue to fade Kansas City Chiefs of covering the spreads, especially divisional road dogs. They've been hitting at a really profitable clip here. You've got a couple of this afternoon, Seattle plus 2.5 and Chargers plus 4. I like both of those. So with that, enjoy your Sunday, and we will be back at some point for a bowl preview show. Thank you all for tuning in. All 1,430 of you guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Go like and follow, and we will see you next time. Cheers, y'all.